All right, good morning, everybody. Today is Monday, March 16, 2015. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. Oh, happy Monday. All Mondays should be canceled, in my personal opinion. It'd be nice to have a 4-day work week, 10 hours a day. That would be perfect. How's everybody doing this morning? It is 35 degrees and overcast here. Kind of damp, actually, and chilly, but at least the snow is melting. Melton, Melton. At least the snow is melting, and it is melting slowly. Our 5-foot piles are now probably about, in some locations in back, it's probably only about 2 feet now. In front, it looks like it got down to about a foot, just, a whole sheet across the front yard, but it's a big block of ice. My one friend was saying, hey, why don't you just go sweep off the deck out back? And I'm like, sweep? It's more like chisel and hammer. But I can see my barbecue again. So that is always a step forward. Maybe I'll be able to use it one of these days soon. And hopefully, when I open it up, I don't find a mouse nest inside. That happened to me 1 year. All right. So where do we continue? It's Monday morning. Thank you, by the way, guys. There was lots of great radio this weekend. Lots of great shows. I mean, all the shows are great, but this weekend I caught a lot of the radio when I was cleaning and sitting and cleaning and sitting, taking breaks. And I learned tons this weekend, so it was good. I always enjoy that. So make sure if you missed any of that, all that's archived up on YouTube. One other thing I wanted to mention too. I know people have been complaining about UCY being in mono. Yes, it is not your imagination. My one channel on this old mixer that's here, which it happened before and we blew it out well and it fixed it, but it looks like this thing is from when my husband was in high school. Old Radio Shack mixer, 2-channel mixer. So I bit the bullet yesterday. Went on to Amazon. I found no frills attached, 3-channel, a brand spanking new mixer that should be here by Friday. So hopefully we can get that replaced. And oh, we'll have all kinds of new hydro. What's the word? What did they used to call it in the 60s? Quadraphonic sound. No, it'll only be stereo, but should sound much better. I made sure I got the little light gauge on it. So I could sit here and look over and see if I'm broadcasting without having to hear anything. It's got the little right left. I mean, it's nothing special. But it was cool. It'll be better than having a 30-year-old mixer here, so I'll be happy. But sorry about that. Yeah, so anyone who's downstream and you're going, how come I only hear everything in one ear? Well, that's why. Nothing I could do about that. I didn't plan for it to happen. I've been dealing with a lot of stuff anyway. We moved. I believe, what did my husband say? 60 gigabytes, 80 gigabytes of data so far off of the archives, unused archives that were just kind of sitting out there. So we'll see if we can get that all straightened out. I have to this week work with the internet service provider and see if we can get our domain renewed and everything hunky dory for another year. A long time ago, when the internet first started, my daughter was asking me, like, if you buy a domain name that's yours to keep. And I was like, no, really, if you buy a domain name, it's yours to rent. And the crappy thing about it is that every year when you come up for renewal and you probably have it hosted somewhere, so you got a database or something connected to it, the internet service provider that's holding your domain can decide that they want to charge you whatever. And I know at one point, a lot of the internet service providers used to have big deals on things. They'd be like, oh, get hosting and we'll give it to you for a penny. Or, oh, sign up for 5 years and we'll give it to you for $10 a year or whatever. Well, at one point in the very beginnings of the consumerized internet, I remember ICANN, which was the group that maintains global internet real estate. ICANN had a deal out there, and I don't know if it was from ICANN, but it must have they must have had something to do with it because it was a long way out there of records keeping. But they had offered 100 year, yeah, 100 year domain purchase. So if you purchased your domain for 100 years for $100, you could have it. And I think it was actually lifetime. It was lifetime, but I mean, you know, it was 100, somewhere around 100 years. 100 years for $100. I wonder if they have that now, because that sure would be a deal. I see, you see why that TV's up for renewal. They want $107 for 1 year for the domain. That's not even including my hosting. The domain. And the reason why is because it's a .tv domain. So apparently they became popular. So the $20 that it cost the first year that it was purchased, you know, now it's a desirable domain when it wasn't back in those days. So now they went $107 this year to renew. It's like a highway robbery. You know, every year they decide, they look at the scale and they go, well, how much could we make on this domain if we resold it out from under you? Ah, so going to hold you hostage now that you got 188 gigs worth of archives up here and an established website, and we see that your rank, you know, we see what your traffic looks like. So this year, you see why we want $107 for your domain name. So it just really pisses me off, because don't think, like we said the other day about this whole FCC net neutrality thing, which, by the way, Pigmine found me, and I see it's out there now, but last week, at the end of the week, he found me that 400-page document. The PDF is opened on my notebook upstairs. And I made it through to like page 15. I really want to get through the 400 pages, because I want to pick it apart and find out what dirtiness they're hiding, because you know they are. But, you know, stuff like this is going to happen more and more often. And I am just seeing, you know, these cost things. These are ways to get around, quote unquote, impeding free speech. You know, hey, we didn't impede anyone's free speech. We just, you know, it costs us more to maintain everything now that the FCC is in charge. We have more fees to pay, so we have to charge more. Oh, what? You poor blogger who had, you know, Johnny's police brutality blog. You can't afford $107 this year, plus your $60 a year database hosting. Oh, wait. What, you have files hosted up there now? Well, guess what, Johnny? This hosting for $60 a year is no longer adequate for what you're doing. Now you need to get our dedicated server at $30 a month. I mean, that's the shit they just told me. So not only did they jack my domain up to over $100 a year, but now they're telling me that because we're storing files up there, which is, of course, unlimited storage, apparently doesn't include storing archives, that we got to go to the $30 a month plan. How the hell am I going to afford that? And, you know, I could guarantee you they're doing this across the board. This is the way they're going to shut us up. I also saw that new, formerly CISA, I think they took the P out now. What was the P for? Privacy, I bet. That's back in the game. And they're tossing around all these copyright things again. Of course, getting Hollywood, that's involved in the whole propaganda machine, is jumping back on board. Let's cut them off at the knees. So this isn't good, people. And I mean, I've been doing computers and internet and networking for a really long time, and I'm appalled. You know, I did this at a corporate level, so I mean, I even got to see lots of corporate pricing. This is ridiculous. For one little tiny wanky website, I mean, it potentially, I don't even know. I mean, let's put the cost in our head. 360 plus another 110, 460, $470 a year just to have a little rinky dink website with my new edicts that are being handed down to me. So what's your alternative? Like I said, free market. Well, yeah, I could say screw you, go find a new internet service provider. But do you know how hard it is to move to a new ISP? And then when you go to a new ISP, is it going to be a dangling carrot that then gets you in there and then makes it even worse than what you had before? Or if you go down, what kind of support does your new ISP have? So they got us coming and going, and this is totally uncool. I see, YouTube is right on board. I don't know. We're not going to dig into this today. This wasn't my topic du jour. I wanted to kind of tie into where we left off the show on Friday in regards to the gut microbe. I don't know if we're going to, actually we might get into the gut microbe later because there were a couple other stories that came out that looked at some other features of that. But one of the things I wanted to hit this morning, so we called the show on Friday, microbiome, gut flora, and mind control, and that's exactly what it was about. So if you didn't catch that one, you can catch that on the UCY page on UCY, or on the, before the first cup page on UCY, or on the YouTube channel. But I wanted to keep going down this microbe path. A couple things came up over the weekend. We've been watching now this whole vaccine rollout. Of course, we have now the first vaccine trials for Ebola in Guinea just finished, which was a huge deal because this whole Ebola outbreak, especially the workers and that one guy out of Texas that flew in, Duncan, the very first one that was infected with Ebola. I mean, this whole thing and the fact that they had all the borders open and they're like, oh, we can't restrict travel. I mean, it was just so apparent to me that, I mean, now that we know all the stuff about the vaccine industry and the FDA and the rubber stamping and, oh, what was that Bush law, emergency preparedness law that we read about too, that unless it was a national emergency, you know what I mean? And if it was a national emergency, they've got that bill passed through, that fast-tracking FDA and vaccine corporations have absolutely zero liability. So it all makes sense. But here, I tried to get the phone set up today so I could just, I don't have to look for myself. I could just click. So let's see if this works. Hey, it does. All right, so let's listen. We got a couple, I was going to call them contestants, but I guess it almost is like spin the wheel. We have a contestant out of Guinea who was a recipient. I think he was an aid worker, but he's one of the first recipients of this new experimental Ebola vaccine. So let's hear what he has to say about this. So these trials just finished up here. Oh, aren't we excited to be the first contestants in the human testing of this vaccination, all new mad science gone mad. Here we go. Hopefully everything works for Monday. Makes it a better Monday for me.
J'ai été le premier à recevoir ce vaccin contre la fièvre hémorragique Ebola.
I was the first to receive the anti-Ebola vaccine. It's been 3 days and I feel perfectly fine. It's true that on the first and second days I had a bit of muscle ache and I was tired, particularly at night, and I had a bit of fever. But
I had a third arm that started growing out of my forehead, but hey, that, you know what, it went away.
But I took some ibuprofen and it worked.
Oh my God. Now this dude, I don't know if he's a doctor. I think it says he's an aid worker, so I'm assuming if he's going to be over there treating people with Ebola, he probably is a doctor, but he feels that confident that he's going to line up and be A number one? I don't know about that. All right, a little bit more.
Since yesterday, I've been feeling a lot better. I feel like I did before the vaccine.
La prise de ce vaccin.
En acceptant, c'est parce que déjà je suis médecin.
I accepted because I'm already a doctor. A doctor is on the front line receiving patients. We are the ones who should set an example, and that is why I'm here today.
And that's it. What do you say to that? I mean, these doctors are lining up now. It makes you wonder, of course, they're in Guinea, so was a gun put to their head? And they're all standing there like all happy. Yes, the first one to get this vaccine. I took a little ibuprofen. I felt better in the morning. So, hey, don't worry about it. Now, of course, we're not going to find out what happens to these doctors 10 years down the line, as they have all these whacked out autoimmune diseases and, I don't know, start growing extra body parts or something. You know, I was thinking about something this morning, too. I was trying to get a timeline straight in my head because it was so long ago. But I heard Hal talking about flu vaccines and people getting them and then getting sick. And, you know, lots of friends and family have all told me the same thing. I myself only ever once got bamboozled into taking the flu shot. That was back in college. Oh, I think I was on campus. So that was probably, it was either 86 or 87. Because those were the only 2 years I was there on campus. I moved off campus. No, wait, take that back. I did it reverse. So it was either 88 or 89 that I got the vaccine. They gave them away free on campus, which is why I decided to do it. I was like, you know, I'm living on campus where there's thousands of kids. It might be a good idea because I never lived in a large environment with that many people before. Well, I'm going to tell you what, something I was thinking about this morning when I was listening to Hal is not only I know that I got sick after that and they're like, nah, you know, it's no big deal. The flu vaccine didn't do that. But yes, it does, because it overwhelms your immune system and anything else that's out there can sneak in the back door. But here's the other thing that I remembered. By the time I graduated in 90, I was incapacitated with, this is when all my health problems started, I was incapacitated with what at that time they diagnosed as chronic fatigue syndrome. Except that was the code word for, we don't have a fucking clue. Now, of course, we know when you look at the Gulf War syndrome and all the stuff that happened after that, and it was right around that time, there were lots of diagnoses of chronic fatigue syndrome, and a lot of it they think had to do with the adjuvants. Now, who the hell knows what was in that vaccine they gave all the college kids? And, you know, all of us were on university healthcare at the time, so you didn't even get to go see real outside doctors. I mean, you didn't have health insurance. In those days, you weren't covered under your parents' health insurance until 26. You know, you got out of high school at 18, bam, you're on your own, honey. Get a job or plead poverty and go to county. I ended up having to do that, too, at one point because I got so sick. And then I graduated from college and all those experimental doctors said, well, sorry, you're no longer a student here. We can't help you anymore. It was unbelievable. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that this morning I really sat back and thought about that timeline, and that was the one and only ever in my life flu vaccine I got. It was the last 2 years I was on campus, so it was either 88 or 89. And by 91, I'm telling you, I was full laid out, sicker than you don't even know. They told me I was dying of cancer, and then I had a brain tumor and given me x-rays and every experimental fucking crazy procedure that now I look back and I'm like, oh, my God. I was like, you know, they were salivating over the guinea pigness. And I was indigent. I was a poor college student trying to pay my way through school. And I didn't have health insurance. So when I had to go to county then after I got out of college, I got on the county insurance. You know, you had to show income. You made under $4,000 a year or whatever it was, which I did. In those days, that was the poverty line. And then I had county crazy doctors experimenting on me for how many years until I got a real job one day and got some real health insurance. And then who even knows after that, because I really didn't have very good doctors until later in those days. And, of course, I've told you guys before, those are all the doctors that now left practice. All right. So, anyway, we got the first experimental vaccine wrap-up happening in Guinea for the Ebola vaccine. So how curious is this news that comes out over the weekend? So hold on. Here we go. CNN, round two commences.
Oh, I might have to sing.
slow. Without an echo. Oh, you bastards. Well, I'm not going to let this one get away from us because there was a whole train of thought here that went into this. So hold on. It's Monday. I'm not too concerned about it. As long as you guys don't mind, take another swig of coffee. It'll be here in a minute. And maybe I'll just, I'll sing Dueling Banjos or something. Uh-oh. Jesus. All right, hold on. So this isn't loading. Wait, we're going to give it one more shot. I would have just left it there to try and load, I probably could have read the story, but I want to play you this video because the video is even better than the story. In the meantime, I will try and send this to myself so I can launch it. Oops. So I can launch it on the other machine. There we go. All right, let's see. Oh, Mondays are always so tough. It's like the brain and the fingers are not working at the same speed. Hasn't quite reached. I don't know what's going on here. There we go. Turn myself on here on Skype. I'll go, hurry. Come on. Let's go, CNN. Here, maybe it'll play if I just hit the play button. I doubt it, but maybe. Well, they made sure they stuck a 30-second commercial in there. And that plays. Of course it does. All right. Maybe we can mute that. All right, we're getting close. It's working. It's the visionary. That's what the commercial's for. More rich people stuff. That's what this is all about. For anyone who's got money, the world is for sale. All right, here we go.
A number of American aid workers possibly exposed to the deadly Ebola virus are on their way right now to the United States for monitoring. The CDC.
This was from this weekend, people. So there are exposed aid workers. Now, this says in the story, 8 American aid workers. I saw last night that there were 11. So maybe that number has gone up. There is one person that was confirmed as having Ebola. And the other individuals, so I believe it was 1 and then 10, the other individuals had all worked very closely with that individual. So they were being, quote unquote, monitored. But wait, remember all of the arguments that we had when that was happening the last time, like how stupid that they are letting these people put themselves into self-quarantine and then wander around. But remember, we were looking at the whole constitutionality of being forced into quarantine. And we also looked at some of the executive orders that had come at the end of last year. One was in July and one was like in either August or October that had to do with virulent substances and whether or not you could be quarantined. I think that executive order had talked about things like pneumonia, but they kind of left it open and had basically said that they can put you into a forced quarantine if you are going to affect the populace. But wait till you hear this. So Ebola's been quiet for a while now. We have this trial vaccine that over the weekend, they're just finishing up in Guinea for Ebola. So there is some pharmaceutical company, and it didn't say which one in that story, but there's some pharmaceutical company that has moved it to human trials. The human trials have happened. Everyone's saying it went okay. They probably got the FDA fast track. If it's not ready already, it's sitting there right in the wings for someone to rubber stamp it. And just as all that happens, oh, we're flying exposed Ebola healthcare workers to the United States. And wait till you hear where and how and what they're imposing on them. Because I watched this yesterday with my morning coffee, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. All right, here we go.
Africa, joining me on the phone, CNN senior medical correspondent Elizabeth Cohen. Elizabeth, what do we know at this point?
Poppy, we know that these 10 or so folks are headed either to the NIH outside of Washington, D.C., or to the University of Nebraska, or to Emory University Hospital in Atlanta.
Okay, so either to outside of Washington, D.C., CDC in Atlanta, or up in Nebraska, where they sent that other doctor that got the blood transfusion back in the very beginning. So one of three places, pretty well, two East Coast, one Westy. Coast, northwest, east coast, up there somewhere. All right, here, let's hear a little more.
You will not be admitted to these institutions. Instead, they will be housed in hotels or similar places, and they'll stay there for the 21 days after you start counting from when they were possibly exposed. Of course.
Wait, so they're not going to be housed in the medical institutions that we're flying them to. They're going to stay in hotels and do a 21-day quarantine. But wait, there's more.
If they get sick, they'll be admitted to the hospital. Now, some of these folks will quarantine themselves and will not leave their housing. Others, however, will be leaving their housing, we're told. But again...
So what? Now, didn't we learn anything in round one? So some of these people... And they're... I mean, what I can't get over is that these are health workers that have had themselves in the pit of the Ebola world. And yet they feel, now that they've been exposed, that I'm so torn over whether or not you have rights to break an enforced quarantine. But I mean, what kind of person? Let's go back to personal responsibility. If you've been exposed to anything that could kill lots of people, and who knows if this is even real, like I said, or I think this is all orchestrated, because here comes round two, anti-vaxxers. Measles wasn't enough. Measles was not enough. Ebola just greased the skids to start it with. And whooping cough, you remember? Those were all last year. So last year. And, you know, they ramped up the whole measles discussion. So parents are running around with letter openers, threatening neighbors and forcing children out of school because they weren't vaccinated, and you know, condemning you because you ruined Johnny's trip to freaking Disneyland. So we had to take it up a notch because, you know what, red dots aren't scary enough, but bleeding out your asshole is, or your eyeballs. So let's get the Ebola back because, hey, you know what, now we got this vaccine ready to rock and roll. How many millions of stupid people in the United States will line up for this vaccine? And not only parents, but look, at they'll be ready to get their kids done too. I mean, guys, this is sick. And, I mean, there's even more because then a story came out. Wait till you hear the story about who's investing just this weekend in all these different biotech companies. Make a guess. There'll be a Cupid doll at the end. All right, let's hear the rest of this clip.
Ebola that we know of, they just at this point have been possibly exposed, and so they want to just make sure they don't get Ebola. So we'll be very closely monitored.
So I know, looking at this CDC release, Elizabeth, it says that these are people who worked alongside an American volunteer healthcare worker in Sierra Leone who did test positive for Ebola. So I know that it is, and it's important to remind our viewers that it is very hard to contract Ebola. It's not contagious through the air, et cetera. But they're just being extremely cautious because this one person did test positive in Sierra Leone, an aid worker.
Right. And so what I've been told is that these 10 folks had exposure to this person after he or she started to get sick. And so you can get Ebola with exposure. But as you said, Poppy, it's not easy to get Ebola. And we don't know, did these people have exposure to his or her bodily fluids, or were they just working or living near them? We just don't know. But they're concerned enough about them that they've flown them back to the U.S., watching them very closely and then admitting them if they do start to show symptoms. And Poppy, I want to emphasize, 10 is a big number.
Right.
10 is a big number. I mean, the NIH, the patient that's currently at NIH that was just admitted, the colleague of these other folks, this person is the 11th person to be treated for Ebola in this country. So 10 possible new cases, that's a big number.
Just to be clear, so worst case scenario here would be that those 10 people somehow did contract Ebola, which is not likely. But we do have the facilities in this country, here in New York, in Maryland, in Nebraska, right, to treat all of those people if it were needed.
Right. The facilities that these folks would be treated with are NIH in Maryland or Emory in Atlanta or the University of Nebraska in Nebraska. And you're absolutely right. The U.S. now does have quite a bit of experience treating people with Ebola. And in all three of those institutions have a lot of experience. They have not infected anyone. There are no healthcare workers at those three institutions who got Ebola. The patients, for the most part, survived. None of their doctors or nurses got sick. You know, it all went as it was supposed to.
Yeah, it all went as it was supposed to. Remember the cluster F that happened? There's over 800 or 900 videos up in the Pigmind playlist on Ebola. I think they've all been sucked over to Pigmind too, but they should be on all the other channels too. But I mean, if you remember, it was like the Three Stooges with this containment, quote unquote containment of the quote unquote virus. You know, these institutes at Maryland Institute, remember Maryland is where a lot of the government institutions are. John Hopkins University is up there where they're working on the Brain Project. And yes, we have the National Institutes of Health, another one who's on the Brain Project, and all these other DARPA-funded programs. The vaccine program is part of the Department of Defense and Department of Homeland Security. Remember, we also read that back in 1969, when the U.S. biowarfare program ended, the United States decided that it was going to turn its biowarfare program, since it was banned internationally, into a defensive one that focused on, yes, you got it, vaccines. All right, a little bit more.
We know that some of those patients took an experimental drug called ZMapp. But at this point, am I right, Elizabeth, in saying there still is no one proven treatment or vaccination for the Ebola virus?
Correct. There's no vaccination. There's no proven vaccination. And the treatment that these other folks got who've been treated in the U.S., they were given various things, brincidofovir, ZMapp. Different people got different things. And we're still not sure whether those drugs work. They were given those drugs, but we don't know if they survived because of those drugs or if they survived just because they got good, what's called supportive care. They were well hydrated. They were well taken care of. You know, that in and of itself could save you from Ebola.
Yep.
And a lot of those drugs, remember,
over now more than 6,000 people have died from the Ebola virus, many of them who do not have the care that these people are going to get if needed here in this country.
All right. One of the things, too, that we paid a lot of attention to is that a lot of those pharmaceutical companies were, some of them actually, were tiny rinky-dink startups that had gone public on the stock market, like right before this happened. Lots of them received sprinkled DARPA money. That's where we found out about some of the RNAi technology. They were messing around with that genetically modified tobacco. And there was all kinds of crazy stuff going on. So one other thing I wanted to play. So these 10 other people are being flown into the United States now to be put in hotels in who knows which city, but one of them. And they are going to maintain a voluntary 21-day quarantine, maybe. Some of them will. We're not sure who. But over the weekend, actually it was Friday, the doctor who was infected and who tested positive arrived in Maryland.
He
must be at the National Institute.
The death from Ebola in West Africa has passed the 10,000 mark. The World Health Organization marked the milestone today in the year-old outbreak. And there was word that an American medical worker has been infected in Sierra Leone. The National Institutes of Health said the patient will arrive at its hospital in Bethesda, Maryland, Friday.
So there you go. We have one confirmed case on U.S. soil, maybe 10 more coming right behind that person. I'm just saying, you know, the Ebola thing, everyone's like, oh, it was just a distraction. Oh, it was this, oh, it was that. But when we started to really dig into the agenda, this vaccine agenda, this new technology that is going to turn us into the new type of human by the year 2030, is all a part of this. This is this genomics, this hacking the human DNA is what it's all about. All right, so let's read a little bit about the story then that came out the other day. Looking toward the future of health, startups are hacking the genetic code. Silicon Valley may have coined the big data buzzword, but genomic scientists have been working with massive data sets for decades. Due to recent breakthroughs in DNA sequencing technology, genetics is moving from the laboratory into the market, and just about everyone is taking a keen interest. In January, Obama requested $250 million to fund his precision medicine initiative. Remember, we looked at that in detail for weeks on end, all the implications of precision medicine and how it's only for the rich. I mean, who's going to be able to pay for these individualized treatments where they can go fix all your ills? And of course, it's being funded by taxpayer dollars. $130 million to back a national research program that will track the data of 1 million volunteer donors. And then another $70 million for a National Cancer Institute initiative to identify the genetic drivers of cancer. Remember, right around the time that that came out, they announced that they have the nanobot now that they can circulate in your blood that attacks cancer cells. Line right up, people. Last week, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, you knew that they'd be jumping into the pool with this one. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation made its largest investment yet in a $76 million equity round for CureVac, a company using mRNA as a template to make therapeutic vaccines for cancer and infectious diseases. You know what? Let's take a look. Did CureVac... Oh, and of course, I click there. This webpage is not available. Yes, the mysterious webpages that are just evaporating from the internet. Hold on, CureVac. Let's see if we can get a little history. Oh, look, the whole computer decides. We don't go anywhere on the internet anymore. We must have hit that red button. Beep, 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 Bill and Melinda Gates. Beep, beep, beep. Don't let them uncover anything. Beep, beep, beep. CureVac. Let me see how to spell it again. Hold on. Where did that story go? Here it is. CureVac. The RNA people. I thought I looked these guys up before. Oh, yeah. March 5th, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and CureVac. Oh. Here, they're headquartered in Germany. Let's see. We should also see how their stock's doing. It's the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and CureVac press room, press release and statements collaborate to accelerate the development of transformative, that's a key word, isn't it? Vaccine technology. Yes, transformative. They are the RNA people. Hey, don't let that arm growing out of your forehead worry you. It's just a little side effect and it goes away. The Bill Melinda Gates Foundation and CureVac today announced that the foundation has made a commitment to invest $52 million in CureVac, a leading clinical stage biopharmaceutical company specializing in mRNA-based vaccine technologies. M is your messenger RNA. As part of the agreement, the foundation will also provide separate funding for several projects to develop prophylactic vaccines based on CureVac's proprietary messenger RNA platform. So prophylactic are, and this is what they were talking about in the very beginning, preventative. So let's make sure that we add Ebola vaccines to the required vaccinations for what? Oh, I don't know, your kids to go to school. I think that's going to be coming here very soon. In addition, CureVac's longstanding investor, Hop Biotech, announced a commitment of another $24 million in additional equity. CureVac is pioneering the use of naturally and chemically unmodified mRNA as a DNA carrier to instruct the human body to produce its own proteins capable of fighting a wide range of diseases. CureVac's novel technology is the broadest and the most advanced mRNA therapeutic platform and allows for rapid, low-cost production of multiple drugs and vaccines. One of the things that we should do is I want to go hit their page really quick here and take a look at what's in their pipeline. The investment will support continued development of CureVac's platform technology and the construction of an industrial-scale good manufacturing practice production facility. As part of this partnership, CureVac and the Gates Foundation will collaborate on the development and production of numerous vaccines against infectious diseases that disproportionately affect people in the world's poorest countries, of course, because those are the best guinea pigs. We can give them a 180-page informed consent document in a different language and get them to put a big X on it without them questioning anything. Unless, of course, they're in India and then there's a lawsuit against Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. If we can teach the body to create its own natural defenses, we can revolutionize the way we treat and prevent diseases, says Bill Gates, co-chair of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Technologies like mRNA give us confidence to place big bets for the future. We are pleased to partner with CureVac, who has been pioneering this technology. Yes, and dealing with all kinds of manipulating RNA and DNA in the body, Billy, will also dovetail really well into the whole eugenics campaign. This collaboration will ensure one of medicine's most promising new technologies is applied to the challenge of reaching all people, with affordable, life-saving vaccines. The Gates Foundation will provide additional funding beyond the equity investment for multiple projects developing vaccines for trial, bacterial, and parasitic infections. The foundation has started to work with CureVac on initial projects for diseases such as rotavirus and HIV. So they're going after HIV as well. Hold on. So let's take a look at their website, CureVac.com. Here, I will, if this chat room will load, it might. I don't know, my flash, of course, has been having all kinds of flash issues here. All right, well, I guess I'll read. All right, let's look at, welcome to CureVac, the RNA people. That's what their website says. I want to see what's in their pipeline, though. Research and development, here we go. There we go. All right, here's the whole list. So let's see what they have in the pipeline. Prostate cancer RNA vaccine is in phase 2 trials already. Not sure what this NSCLC is, but there's 4 of them, and it might be some sort of cancer vaccination RNA, quote-unquote, vaccine, because one of them states it's with radiation, and another one states after chemotherapy. So that's what it looks like to me. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4 RNA cancer vaccines that are in the works. Not prostate. There's 2 prostate cancer. 1 prostate cancer is in phase 2 already, about ready to go to phase 3, which is the ends. A 2nd prostate cancer is in phase 1. 1 cancer vaccine with radiation is also in phase 1. And then 1, 2, 3 other cancer vaccines are in preclinical trials right now. And then, of course, there is the line item undisclosed projects, which is in preclinical. And then let's check this one out. RNA active prophylactic vaccines. Of course, these are the ones that they're going to give you before you ever get anything as a preventative measure. We have the rabies vaccine, which, you know, the rabies vaccine is what, the 3-year rabies vaccine is what caused the sarcoma in my cat 20 years ago. His leg, when they amputated it, had become part of a clinical trial that was going on at Cornell University. The doctor was a former graduate of Cornell University, and she had told me all about the study that was going on, and they had believed that the adjuvants in the 3-year rabies vaccine versus the 1-year was what was causing the sarcoma. So just be aware of that, especially when you're getting your animals vaccinated. If you're going to get them vaccinated for rabies, in a lot of states it's mandatory, get the 1-year. Do not get the 3. My doctor told me that. Do not get the 3-year. So anyway, rabies for people is in phase 1 clinical trial. And these are RNA vaccines. I'm not sure what RSV is. Influenza, that's in the research trials. Rotavirus research trials. HIV research trials. Tuberculosis research trials. And then, of course, there are 2 line items here. And there's all Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation logos here. 2 line items. One's called Undisclosed Project, and the other is called Undisclosed Projects. And those are both in the research stage. So I'm not seeing anything here that talks about Ebola at all. But I guess we keep an eyeball on that. I don't have time to go digging into it right now because I'm on air. And it's a little hard to do and talk at the same time. But if I did a little digging and we just paid attention here, I could bet you CureVac at some point is going to come up with some sort of Ebola cure. But even if they don't come up with some sort of Ebola cure that Bill and Melinda just invested huge amounts of dollars in, remember, the vaccine for measles, though it got some dumb parents upset because people weren't getting it, you know, people look back historically to see that measles wasn't that bad. And you know what? We all used to get measles. I had measles in college. I had read, actually, I was vaccinated as a kid for measles, but I did get it in college. And when I dug into that during that measles quote unquote outbreak, I had discovered that between the years of like 88 and 91, there was a resurgence in measles. And there was a big story about Philadelphia. I think they quarantined the city, or they were quarantining people down there back then because of this big outbreak of measles. And that's when I got sick. So, and I wasn't even that sick. I mean, I had red dots inside my mouth. I didn't even get it all over my body. I felt like I had the flu. All right, so let's get back to this original story. Looking toward the future of health, startups are hacking the genetic code. So we found out that Bill and Melinda Gates is now invested in CureVac, C-U-R-E-V-A-C. In 2014, genomic tech companies saw nearly a 50% rise in the number of venture investments. That's what I told you, like huge, huge investments from all over, right before this big Ebola thing hit United States shores. I was like, wow, that's pretty convenient now, isn't it? In the number of venture investments recorded, while the total capital committed more than doubled to reach $687 million last year, considering that the number of Series A rounds grew by nearly 300%, it looks like the funding surge will continue into 2015. Well, of course it will. As we have new disease scares, I mean, they've shown how brainwashed the American public is. All it takes is a little bit of fear. Fear, 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 fear. Fear is a type of mind control. Dig into it. I'm still going to get into it. I need to get a primer for my friend that's done years of research into mind control to just understand some of the older technologies. But I most certainly understand some of the stuff that DARPA's been working on and some of the stuff with this brain project that they've been discovering. And fear 100% is a great way to corral the herd, right? Stand up and go, blah, 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 and all the cows run back into the pen. It's exactly what they're doing. And of course, if there's lots of investment, if there's lots of scared people that line up for vaccines, then there's lots of investment. And that means lots of rich people, including more than 50% of our Congress, are going to make all kinds of money insider trading on the stock market. All right, back to the story. While the majority of these deals are led by biotech investors, a handful of more traditional tech investors have begun to dabble in genomics tech. We read about this one. It was co-founded by Google consumer genomics startup 23andMe and genomic data management platform DNA Nexus, which I haven't heard of them yet. I'll have to check them out. DNA Nexus have secured funding from well-known tech investors, including Google Ventures, New Enterprise Associates in First Round. It is now possible to sequence the human genome in a single day for only $1,000. I'm trying to remember how much it was in the very beginning, but I remember reading it was extremely expensive. And the fact that it's down to $1,000, remember, that was actually a big window for personal computers to hit. When personal computers came down to the price where they were like the sub $1,000 PC, that's when computers went consumer. That was like the, is it the Overton window? Is that what they called it? I don't know. There was a glass ceiling. All they had to do was make a sub $1,000 PC and consumer computing went crazy. That breakthrough, the story says, creates new opportunities for medical testing in areas that had been impossible due to the prohibitive cost of sequencing. It took a number of years and over $3 billion to sequence one person's genomic information data back in 2000. So there you go, $3 billion to sequence one person. The leading producer of genomic sequencing instruments said, since that time, we've reduced the cost so fast for sequencing this information that they call it Flatley's Law after Illumina's CEO, Jay Flatley. So Illumina must have been the company that came up with the sequencing tool. Yes, Illumina. Illumina Accelerator, which offers genomic startups a $100,000 note from Yuri Milner, $100,000 in services from AWS and access to sequencing instruments in a lab space. The applications of genomics are vast. Startups in Illumina's 2014 batch range from cancer diagnostic startup Excel Biosciences to EpiBiome, an agriculture tech company developing treatments to prevent dairy cattle infections. You know, I mean, we dug into all this too. This whole biological attack that's happening right now on us is not just about vaccines. It's not just about humans. It is about hacking the genome across the board of all biological life, plant, animal, human, and utilizing these genomic hack technologies to not only mess around with how our DNA works and our immune systems, but also to insert things. I mean, the Monsanto and a lot of their new pesticide technology is using the same technology that they're using in these new RNA type vaccines. RNAi is interference. So it's interfering with processes. In the insects, what they're doing is they're putting RNAi tech into the new crops. And when bugs eat those crops, it interferes with their, some of them, their absorption of nutrients, others with their ability to procreate. So you got to be very careful, and it's all related, and all this money is being funneled into these mad science gone mad technologies, and we are just lining up going, hell yeah, the 21st century has so much freaking promise because it's going to save us all from the rampages of over quote unquote overpopulation and the disease that comes with it. Big Pharma is now moving more aggressively into the use of gene sequencing and genomics and drug development, and they sort of hit a wall on their ability to do that without using the cloud. Yes, let's tie the internet in. Up to 6 months ago, almost all of Big Pharma was having to do analysis and then FedEx the physical hard drives, but the limits of that have been reached. As genomic testing becomes more mainstream, venture capitalists have a clear advantage, regardless of their science background, to bring new technologies to customer, and it's what the startup does best. Guys, it's one big, dirty circle jerk is what it is. And so we're going to end the show. We got like 2 minutes left. DNA editing of human embryos alarm scientists. No. Yes. At least somebody is going, hey, Chuck, back up the truck. DNA editing of human embryos alarm scientists. A call by scientists to halt the precision gene editing of DNA in human embryos would allow time to work out safety and ethical issues. Ah, safety schmafety. Ethics, schmethics, who needs those when we can have the Isle of Dr. Moreau and Plum Island in Kansas and Tornado Alley all wrapped up into one? All right, guys, we got about 20 seconds left. That went really fast, and I have a ton of stuff to get to this week. So I guess the rest of the week could be kind of fun. All right, make sure you stick around. It's Monday. More Hal wisdom following me, and then some Will Roberts wisdom. Tonight we have the Ocelli Effect Rewind at 6 p.m. Unlock the Door with Michael Cross at 8. Truth on the Tracks, brand spanking new with Brandon at 9. Daniela and Kyle have a new one coming at 10. And live, Nick and DB with Anti-Media Radio at 11 p.m. Eastern. All right, guys, we'll try to have an all right Monday. Hopefully it's at least warm and sunny where you are. And make sure you stick around. I'll be hanging out today for a little bit while I work on these uploads. All right, guys, everyone take care. We'll talk to you later.